12. A Better World. Government spending on Sharp Eyes and related projects has fostered a massive surveillance industry in China, with as many as 30,000 companies, according to a 2015 study. Concrete spending figures are hard to come by, but even rough estimates show the extent of government investments. According to the China Security and Protection Industry Association, sales of safety and surveillance products doubled from $35 billion in 2010 to $70 billion by 2015, on track to an estimated $115 billion annually by 2020. The Chinese surveillance industry continues to grow at a breakneck pace, growing by an estimated 18% in 2019. Chinese firms participating in domestic surveillance are top-tier global technology companies. Hikvision specializes in surveillance cameras. Telecom providers Huawei and ZTE in data storage and system integration. Alibaba in cloud computing services and big data analysis. iFlytek in speech recognition. SenseTime and SenseNets in facial recognition. And Huawei subsidiary HiSilicon in chips. Huawei, SenseTime, and MegV have denied their technology is used to profile or target groups, yet all eight technology companies are suppliers for Skynet or Sharp Eyes. Chinese facial recognition firms are some of the best in the world. Algorithms from SenseTime and Yitu have consistently ranked at the top in the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology's Face Recognition Vendor Test. In 2017, Yitu took first place in a facial recognition competition sponsored by the U.S. Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Activity, IARPA. Chinese firms benefit not only from massive government funding, but also the enormous data they are able to collect from deployed surveillance systems, allowing them to further refine their algorithms. China has a vibrant tech ecosystem, nurtured in part by government funding, protectionist policies, and prohibitions on many Western firms from operating in China. The Chinese Communist Party aggressively censors the internet, blocking many foreign websites and banning many foreign apps. Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and scores of other non-Chinese websites and apps are banned. An entirely separate app ecosystem has grown in their place. Every functionality one might desire in the United States or Europe is replicated in China, but by Chinese companies. Ride sharing? Download Didi. Uber doesn't have a foothold there. Maps? Google Maps is blocked in country. Baidu Maps is great, but only in Chinese. Search? Google is also blocked. Baidu dominates the search market. In some areas, China is far ahead of Western companies. WeChat has no parallel in the West, an all-purpose social media platform that also does mobile payments, ride-hailing, food delivery, flight booking, games, and more. Many of these Chinese applications are superior to their American counterparts. Once integrated into China's digital economy as a temporary netizen, life for me was as seamless and easy as in any other digitally first-world nation. With Didi, China's version of Uber, it didn't matter that I didn't speak Chinese, nor the driver English. I could summon a taxi using the English version of the app. On the driver's phone, the destination and directions were in Chinese. Both of us saw the distance, estimated time, fare, and each other's ratings in our respective languages. Didi even offered helpful phrases for me to text the driver with the push of a button, such as, "I will be there soon, please wait a moment." Proponents of Chinese tech companies often argue that U.S. firms simply haven't been able to adapt to the Chinese market, yet many U.S. brands are popular in China. There's a Starbucks and KFC on seemingly every corner. Some tech consumer brands have also done well. In Beijing's Wanfujing shopping district, the two-story Apple store was packed with customers. Across the street, the much smaller Huawei store was nearly empty. While there have undoubtedly been cases where U.S. firms have stumbled in the China market, the Chinese government's systemic protectionist policies of state subsidies, support for national champions, forced technology transfer, forced joint ventures for foreign firms, intellectual property theft, and outright bans on some foreign firms have also played a major role in bolstering China's tech industry. As if to drive home the strength of China's tech sector, one day as I was leaving my hotel, the elevator door opened and I was met with a robot. The robot chattered at me in Chinese, and while I couldn't understand its instructions, I gathered the gist of its desire for me to move out of its way. The robot trundled down the hotel hallway for a bit until it came to a stop outside a room, delivering some item to the occupants. I later spoke with the hotel staff, and the robot bellhop did not seem to be tied to any particular event or AI conference. Rather, a robot bellhop just seemed to be the kind of thing that an upscale Beijing hotel had because, why not? The strength of Chinese technology sector is remarkable and a boon to the nation. The question is what China's tech giants will do with their AI tools. I headed to see for myself one of China's leading AI firms, a member of China's AI national team. Just outside the tree-lined campus of Tsinghua University, China's answer to MIT, lies Zhongguancun, one of China's tech hubs that vie for the title of China's Silicon Valley. The massive tech park is populated with gleaming office buildings, green spaces, ponds, and throngs of young engineers in English language t-shirts, heads down in their phones. At one Chinese startup I visited, the cafeteria was packed at dinner time with tech workers who seemingly never went home. China's tech culture is notoriously hard-working, with employees expected to work 996, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week. Yet the open office spaces I saw were still full at 9 p.m., crumpled food wrappers next to workers' computers as they toiled into the night. One of China's five AI national team members is iFlyTech, which specializes in intelligent voice. I met iFlyTech Vice President Lin Ji in their Beijing offices in Zhongguancun. As is mandatory when visiting tech companies, I and the other American visitors got a tour through the iFlyTech AI Development Center just off the main floor lobby. Inside, we were shown a small museum of iFlyTech AI wonders: voice cloning, speech-to-text, text-to-speech, real-time language translation, and more. iFlyTech is a global leader in AI voice technology. In 2017, they were named by MIT Technology Review the sixth smartest company in the world. In 2018, they won 12 awards in international AI and speech recognition competitions. iFlyTech representatives give a tour of the many applications for their AI systems, including in business, education, and healthcare. Their goal was to enable machines to listen and speak, understand and think. iFlyTech had a voice-activated smart home system like Amazon's Alexa. Their translation services can translate between Chinese and 58 different languages and can handle multiple Chinese dialects. In addition to voice-based AI, the firm was working on natural language processing. They were building a machine to pass the college entrance exam for mathematics, training it on thousands of exam papers. In education, they were building AI applications to automatically grade papers, personalize education resources, and customize study plans. They cheerily explained their AI would increase teaching efficiency. In medicine, iFlyTech fielded in 2018 an AI-based diagnostic system to aid doctors in treating 900-plus diseases. Most Chinese tech workers, like those in other countries, just want to get rich. The vast majority of conversations I had with AI researchers in China were about the beneficial uses of AI in society in improving efficiency, productivity, health, safety, and quality of life. The challenges that Chinese AI innovators are grappling with are largely the same as their counterparts elsewhere. AI has no doubt tremendous benefits in China, as it does elsewhere in the world. But the risks of AI, abuse by law enforcement for surveillance, predictive policing, and internal repression, are far worse in China without the system of checks and balances that exist in democratic societies. The darker side of AI was visually brought to life by two robots in the iFlyTech Center. One was described as an education robot and was designed with a friendly face, soft features, smooth curves, and white and lavender body. The other was described to me as a security robot and featured sharp edges, glowing eyes, and a black, menacing face. iFlyTech representatives seemed oblivious to the concerns about the applications of their intelligent voice technology. A screen in the center displayed real-time interactions around the country with their open platform for intelligent voice, flashing stats for each region as their tools were being used, including in Xinjiang. When we sat down to talk with Vice President Lin, he immediately launched into an explanation of how important the government is as a customer for them. Lin explained that 50% of the company's $1 billion in annual revenue came from the Chinese government. "The customer is like God," he said through a translator. Lin spoke positively of iFlyTech's relationship with the government, saying that the company has joint labs with the government and that the government encourages innovation and likes iFlyTech. Likewise, he said that the company advises the government on regulations and policy. Lin was very open about their partnership with the local government in Xinjiang on voice translation. He said that in 2011, they began a partnership with Xinjiang University to amass data on speech recognition for the Uyghur language and, as a result of this partnership, had built a translation service to help Uyghurs learn Chinese. He said that in Xinjiang, the government was a big customer. Independent investigations of iFlyTech operations in Xinjiang tell a more sinister story. iFlyTech subsidiaries have signed deals to sell voice print collection systems to Xinjiang police and a strategic cooperation framework agreement with the Xinjiang Prison Administration Bureau, including to investigations by Reuters and Human Rights Watch. Such programs would be able to identify an individual by the unique signature of their voice. Lin refused to give details about iFlyTech's work with Xinjiang authorities, but said that, inherently, their technology is helpful for communication between different ethnicities. Citing the current situation in Xinjiang, Lin said there was more of a need now for their technology. Lin stated any relationship with the Chinese military was classified, but iFlyTech's marketing brochure openly boasts of their non-military government work in public security, law, prosecutions, and the judicial system, including in Xinjiang. Their public security products include a police audio intelligence service platform and intelligent trial system. iFlyTech operates a partnership with the Ministry of Public Security, MPS, Key Lab of Intelligent Voice Technology, the only voice technology lab of the MPS. U.S. policymakers have raised concerns about China's model of military-civil fusion, a concept Xi Jinping has advocated to more closely integrate China's military and civilian sectors. While U.S. firms may decline government contracts for ethical reasons, American policymakers fear Chinese companies must serve the demands of the CCP. The Chinese government has sweeping power to compel individuals and organizations to support the state. These powers have been codified in a battery of recent laws, including China's national security law, cybersecurity law, national intelligence law, and data security law, but the government's authority would exist even without these specific laws. Were Chinese tech companies to openly criticize the government, as employees did at Google, Amazon, and Microsoft of the U.S. government, they would risk jail time or worse. Lin says that iFlyTech frequently says no to the government, however, sometimes because what the government asked for is not feasible. In response to a question about whether iFlyTech had ever said no to government work for ethical reasons, Lin said, yes. When asked for specifics, he cited a time that the government wanted them to pay more taxes. He said he didn't think that was ethical. The relationship between the government and tech firms is different in the United States and China, but not in the way U.S. policymakers often think. The Chinese government can compel firms to take certain actions, such as giving the government data on their customers. These coercive realities also apply to U.S. firms working in China. Unlike in the United States, companies cannot turn to an independent judiciary or the court of public opinion to fight the Chinese government's pressure, as Apple did when the FBI demanded they unlock a terrorist's iPhone in 2016. Yet business-related frictions between Chinese firms and the government still exist. This is particularly true in the defense sector, which has at times struggled to tap into China's commercial AI expertise. Experts Elsa Kanya and Laurent Lascai concluded, China's defense sector has been primarily dominated by sclerotic state-owned enterprises that remain walled off from the country's dynamic commercial economy. China is working to bring its defense and commercial sectors closer, as is the United States, but both countries face practical problems in reforming their defense bureaucracies. While barriers remain between China's military and commercial sectors, there is a closer relationship between China's AI companies and the government for domestic security. The CCP's massive investment in intelligence, surveillance, and social control has boosted Chinese AI companies and tied them closely to the government. The fact that half of iFlytek's revenue came from the government is indicative of the extent of the Chinese government's ties to its AI national champions. This is not the case for American firms, for whom the government is a relatively small slice of their business. In the United States, big tech corporations such as Amazon, Apple, Meta, formerly Facebook, and Google are independent centers of power, often at odds with the government on specific issues. Power is more fragmented in democracies, and it can be more difficult to get public and private sector actors to work together to establish rules for how to use technology. While democracies are more likely to produce laws and policies that balance public safety with privacy and civil liberties, they also may be slower to cohere around a set of rules. Meanwhile, as the Chinese government matures its repressive use of AI, it can count on Chinese AI firms to be willing and even eager partners. On the way out, I noted a banner in iFlytek's lobby with the company motto, "Create a better world with artificial intelligence."